Welcome to the second podcast of the week. Unless you will listen to the Environment Day podcast after this, and then this will be the first episode, and whatever. So I love how two important days related to environment are at a 4-day gap. Keep the conversation going, and with that, hello, I am Anshul. Welcome to Daily Passenger Responsible Travel Podcast. This is the World Oceans Day special episode, but I have been trying to record something on this topic with someone who is working in this field, but for a reason or another, I never found any. The guest today is Tanvi Gautama, a diver, an underground photographer, and a conservationist. More about her later, but before we start, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the platform you are listening. Here is World Oceans Day special episode with Tanvi. Hi Tanvi, thanks for taking out your time and joining me for this episode.
Thank you for having me.
So before we start, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Okay, hi. I am an assistant scuba diving instructor. I work in Pondicherry at Temple Adventures. In case you all want to know, Pondicherry is offers the best mainland diving in India. I started my scuba journey as an 18-year-old in 2016 and made it a profession in 2018, but actually started working as a profession only in 2020. And I've wanted to be an underwater photographer since I was a child. So yes, I am working on it.
So what influenced you to take diving and underwater photography as a profession?
So I learned how to swim at the age of 5 and always loved being in the water. In the 7th grade, my parents got me some Reader's Digest magazines for kids, and one of them happened to be about the oceans. The photographs really fascinated me a lot and played a huge influencing role in me taking up diving as a profession. And of course, as a 7th grader, I told my parents that, hey, I want to be a marine life photographer, and they just kept pushing me, and they were like, you know what, sure. They actually helped me a lot in getting where I am today.
So you have been diving since such a long time, and oceans are one, I should say, part of travel and tourism network that most of us don't know much about. So what is that one issue that you would like to talk about that oceans are facing and we are not informed?
Okay, so with the internet at the beck and call to most, I think it's very hard to pinpoint one particular issue that oceans are facing that people don't know about. Plastic and industrial pollution takes up most of the space when we speak about threats in general, and they should, because these threats are very real and very damaging. But one issue I would like to highlight is the killing of sharks. An estimation of 100 million sharks are killed off by humans every year. Sharks are the apex predators of our oceans. They are basically keystone species. What this means is that if sharks go extinct, then our entire marine food webs collapse. Without sharks, the oceans will see a rise of small fish that sharks were supposed to eat, which could furthermore result in the extinction of even smaller fish that depend on the sharks for their survival, which could then lead to a rise in algae. And what no sharks could also mean is a very grave to almost no future for humans. Most of the air we breathe comes from our oceans. A decline in sharks would eventually mean a rise in algae, as I mentioned before, which would make our oceans into literal swamps, which will block out the air we need to breathe. So I guess if I had to summarize in layman's terms the risk of losing our sharks, I would say when it rains, it pours.
And what is your experience with like difference between diving in India and while diving in other countries?
So as I mentioned before, I began my scuba journey as an 18-year-old. And only went on to becoming a professional 2 years after that. So I've dived in a number of places outside India, but they were mainly for learning new skills. Like I never went to just do fun dives. I always went to learn particular skills. I wasn't a frequent diver when I just started who would, you know, constantly go for fun dives. In fact, I was under this terrible impression that except for the Andamans and abroad, India wasn't suitable for diving, which was extremely naive of me. So in 2019, I wanted to do a self-reliant diver course, and Temple Adventures, where I work, was the only dive center in India running the course, and I decided to go to Pondicherry. What I learned from my experience is that India is a massive treasure trove of dive sites. Pondicherry alone is extremely diverse when it comes to scuba. What I learned from my experience is that in one small area, you have ocean dives, lake dives, natural coral reefs, artificial reefs, and massive sunken ships where you can even wreck dive. You can basically find everything under the sun in small parts of India as well. And like, I feel really foolish for not knowing this before and not doing more research, or else I would have definitely done my dive master training in India itself. I always regret that, because there's so much to do here and experience different environments, which I feel I lacked out by, you know, doing it elsewhere.
And during this journey, what do you think is your biggest accomplishment as a diver or as an ocean photographer?
So I find this question very like it makes me blush a little, if I'm being candid. But I think 13-year-old me would be extremely proud of actually going through with my diving career. So I feel the fact that I actually made it through, like actually went through, did all my courses, and, you know, went with the whole underwater photography thing and didn't give up on it, I would consider that as an accomplishment.
And since you hold such a long-term experience of diving and swimming and everything, so how would you describe the changes that Marine World has seen since you first began your career as an explorer?
So I only began my diving career in 2020. I haven't seen any massive changes yet, but of course there are changes happening. So I'd like to talk about a positive change, which is artificial reefs. Scuba divers are setting up more and more of these artificial reefs underwater, and they're not just for tourism purposes. So what I mean is, they're not just meant for divers to come, go diving there and, you know, generate revenue out of it. But the real reason of these artificial reefs is to build homes for marine life and to also promote sustainable fishing habits. And not to take away from the fishermen, but it was actually the fishermen who first started implementing these artificial reefs in the water so that, you know, they could also practice sustainable fishing habits. And what these fishermen would do and what they still do is they take old trees and they plant them underwater, which gets a lot of fish in the water to these trees. And then they start laying their eggs there. They start using it as protection, and every time you go diving, you'll see a bunch of fish just around it, and it's extremely beautiful as well. So I think one of the changes that I am hoping to see in the future of my dive career is seeing these artificial reefs grow, because the more they grow, the more life grows on them. So yes.
So marine conservation is a whole different aspect of responsible travel. It's very far away from what we are doing right now, but it is obvious that everything is connected. So since the region is affected differently compared to Himalayas, or basically Himalayas where I have been working, so what is happening in the oceans and how is tourism affecting it?
Okay, so touristy areas are always crowded and busy, which in turn results in a lot of waste getting generated, which we all already know that. Especially areas near the seas, at the beach, see a lot of trash getting dumped in the waters. Sustainable and responsible tourism operators not only keep their entire focus on increasing footfall, but also actively help in protecting the environment. They do this by educating their travelers of the dangers that plastic waste poses to our oceans, and as tourists, being mindful of the operators that we choose to travel with, really help with controlling this. A good example of this are the famous full moon parties conducted in Koh Phangan, which is in Thailand. So what these parties are basically, once the party is over, everyone that attended it has to exit the beach with a bag of trash. You have to. That's the rule of it. And I feel that this ensures that tourists are having a good time, but also builds community service and helps keep our environment protected and clean. So when it comes to the oceans aren't getting trash from nowhere. It is from us. It is from lands. And I feel practices like this is actually what's keeping things clean and tidy and keeping the environment protected in general.
So, and are there any sustainable travel companies in India that focus on this?
So, yes, definitely. When you talk about dive centers in particular, hold a lot of cleanup dives. So, what a cleanup dive is, it's not easy. It's actually a lot of hard work that goes into this, and you need a certain amount of dives to, you know, go for these cleanup dives. So I can give you an example of how my dive center runs it. So if we're a group of say 15 people or let's say 20 people, we will be divided into four groups. So the major trash that we find in Pondicherry waters is ghost nets, wave fishing nets, ghost nets, all of that. And these pose a severe threat to marine life because fish tend to get tangled up in all of this and they end up choking and dying on it. So what our team does is we go down, and our team is divided into four, like I said. So one team is dedicated just to cutting these nets. The second team is going to be collecting all these nets. The third team is the safety team. So the safety team's job is just to make sure that, you know, none of the divers are stuck in these nets or get hurt or anything like that. And the fourth team is meant for documenting. So, you know, we document the entire process so that we're actually raising awareness about how dive centers are helping oceans, how scuba divers are helping clean the oceans and, you know, keeping them safe for marine life. So this is something that scuba divers, all of us do.
That's really interesting. Like, even I had the very less idea that this much is happening in India on this scale. So, yeah, that's really nice.
And this was the same thing with me. I honestly had no idea in the beginning. When I just started, I had no idea that India is doing so much. India has so much. And not just that, the dive industry in India is really growing. And it's growing rapidly with people knowing that they can come for dives and not go for fun dives, but even, you know, help the ocean in a way. And of course, when I'm speaking about cleanup dives, I'm talking about, this is what the staff does. Like, we organize these dives every twice a month or something like that. But I remember once going with a fun diver. I was taking her for a dive and it made me so happy. She was just an open water diver and she saw a piece of plastic. And she went, she picked up that plastic and she put it in her BCD. So a BCD is something that you wear underwater, which attaches the tank to your body. And those usually have pockets. So she put the trash in her pocket. And then when we came on land, she disposed it off properly. So you don't always have to be in such an extensive team to clean up the ocean. If you see a little trash, you can always pick it up and, you know, come on land and dispose it off properly. And not just that, I forgot to mention this actually, but in these cleanup dives that we do, so we are associated with PADI, okay? And PADI has something called Dive Against Debris. So when we do these cleanup dives, we come out of the dives and we write down whatever trash we collected. So how many ghost nets were there? What type of ghost nets were there? If there was any plastic in any of that, if any fish died in those ghost nets, what fish were there, how many were there. So, you know, we have a record of everything that we're finding. So later on, researchers can find this information useful. So, yeah, there's actually a lot of work happening. But unfortunately, it gets sidelined half the times. Like, people don't know that, you know, there's so much more to diving than just fun dives.
There is a problem of publicity and PR when it comes to these things in India. India and I think in South Asia. Not even South Asia, I think India is facing this problem because even Himalayan cleanup agencies face the same issue because so much is happening and very less people know. If you go to Sri Lanka, there is so much publicity, they get so many volunteers And this thing is not happening in India.
So I feel like the reason why India gets a bad rep is because people, just like how I was in the past, like, we're just naive. We have no idea that India has so much potential in the first place. Like, before I went diving in Pondicherry, I didn't think the diving would be amazing. I didn't think there would be crystal clear waters and you go in and you see whale sharks in February. I had no idea about any of this. And now that I know, I just want to protect it with all my heart, because people need to see this and people need to realize that together we can all actually really save our oceans from a lot. But I get your point about the whole PR thing. We do not get as much publicity as we should.
Yeah, like, have you seen Namibia's Ocean Conservation Center's YouTube?
I have.
They rescue baby seals from oceans that get stuck in plastic wires and all. And
I've seen a video, I don't know if it's from the same organization, but I have seen videos of how they remove, it was a plastic, I forgot what it's called, but it wasn't a piece of plastic, but it was stuck around its neck, and how they catch the animal and how they remove it. I've seen videos on it, I just don't know if it's the same organization or not.
Yeah, maybe, I think it's the same organization.
Oh, okay. So,
coming to the next question. So, diving is growing as a popular activity among Indian tourists. And post-lockdown, more will be interested in this activity because as our keyword research shows that there are more people searching about diving and scuba and all in India. So,
okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. So how, as a first-time diver or someone who is new to this, can enjoy this activity in an ethical way?
Okay, so becoming a scuba diver means signing up for a lot of responsibilities. And by that, I don't just mean being responsible for yourself, but the second rule of scuba diving is you never dive alone. You always dive with a buddy. So you're also responsible for your buddy and your buddy is responsible for you. So those are just a few of the responsibilities I'm talking about. But there are actually a lot when it comes to marine life. You have to make sure that you never ever touch marine life and you do not harass them. So it's at least in my books, the number one and most important is never ever touching marine life when you just start diving and as you continue. Harassing animals is the worst of the worst, and as professionals, we have to make it a point to teach our students about the risks, not just to them, but also these animals if we touch and harass them. Because so when customers come to our dive centers who, you know, just want to experience scuba diving, it's called Discover Scuba Diving. We, even to them, we make sure that we tell them that, hey, you know, you can't just touch animals. Like, okay, fine, something could happen to you, but to the animals, they could also get infected because human beings carry a bacteria on their hands. And if we happen to touch them, we could infect them, which could then get them isolated from their group of fish. So, you know, we just end up killing them by unnecessarily touching them for some photo or just for the sake of it. So yeah, I mean, if you really want to enjoy this activity, you have to be extremely respectful of the ocean and all the life in it. That's the only way. Another ethical way to enjoy underwater photography, if you're interested in knowing, is that, especially if you're using external light, you do not want to spend more than 5 photos on one animal, because external light means there is going to be a flash. You do not want to harass an animal in its own home. So usually the rule of thumb is that you take 5 pictures and then you let go. Like, okay, fine, I'm not going to, you know, annoy this creature anymore. Because no photo is worth it if it's at the cost of an animal being annoyed or irritated or harassed or any of that.
That's a really good pointer. I think this photography rule also applies in wildlife, because animals get really annoyed if you continuously keep pointing camera at them.
Absolutely. It makes me very, very angry when, you know, people will constantly go after marine life. And I actually have a story. During one of my dives in Mexico, there was this turtle that came and these other divers just kept, you know, going after it. And it really upset me. And what happened is they ran out of air. So they had to go out. And I hadn't followed them. Me and my buddy were just on our own. We didn't follow the turtle or, you know, run after animals or any of that. And the minute they went up, I'm not making this up, but the minute they went up, this massive turtle from nowhere comes straight towards us, straight in front of my camera. And I was just shocked. I was like, okay, this is amazing. And all it took was one picture. I got my photo and that was it. And it was great. I actually, not to toot my own horn, but I won an award for that photo this year. So, yes. Just, it's patience and respecting animals. It's all it takes sometimes.
True, true. Like, patience is the key of clicking good photos. Like, if you're doing astrophotography or doing wildlife photography or anything.
Definitely.
What kind of conservation efforts can an aspiring diving enthusiast can make if they start doing it professionally?
So I think starting small helps. Like, you can organize beach cleanups. Just go to the beach, pick up whatever trash you have and, you know, whatever trash you see and dispose them off correctly. But I think as much issues as we can raise and, you know, try to resolve, at least in India, we definitely need better drainage systems, because until and unless we have better systems to, you know, dispose of our trash properly, all our trash is going to eventually end up in the oceans and it's just going to all be completely pointless. But I feel like industrial waste control, better drainage systems, sustainable fishing practices, and creating awareness about all this as a newbie diver, There's only so much you can do, but I feel awareness and education is such a key point in all of this. Like, if we can just change one person's mind, like, for example, there is this amazing account called, amazing page called In Season Fish, which tells you every month which fish you should be eating and which fish you should not. So if we can just tell a person, change one person's mind into, you know, following that, and change one person's mind into fish, like into buying fish locally and not from big industries, it's the little changes that count. But then again, it's also us having to hold bigger industries accountable, right? Because in the end, it's all that trash that we alone will not be able to fight off.
And what are some of the misconceptions about diving that mainstream travelers don't know?
I think that when it comes to, I'm going to speak from a professional point of view, but I think one of the misconceptions is that it's a very easy life. Yes, of course, it's a fun life for sure. We did choose this career because we clearly care about the oceans and, you know, we like what we do. But when people think that, oh, this is such a fun job, they tend to forget that they are the ones on vacation, not us. We have to constantly take care of them, make sure they're having a good time, make sure they're not getting injured. And trust me, people do end up getting hurt and, you know, by doing stupid things. So we have to make sure that they're not doing any of those things. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions, at least from a professional point of view, is that it's extremely easy and anyone can do it. And when it comes to just recreational diving, I think out of all the adventure sports, scuba diving does get like a little of the backseat, where people tend to compare it with skydiving. And they're like, oh, anyone can do scuba. But it's not really about that. Yes, anyone can do scuba. That is true. But taking it seriously is also extremely important, because what people forget is that at the end of the day, it is an adventure sport. There are risks to it. And treating it lightly and not following rules is absolutely not cool. So, yeah.
And lastly, what is your message to young girls who wish to take diving as a career?
Oh, this is my favorite question. So as when I was a younger girl, or when I just started diving, I didn't really see a lot of Indian women. But then again, probably because I didn't do my research, there are not a lot, but there are Indian women who are really making an impact. Okay, and if even one girl is listening, I just want to say that please just go out for it. The diving industry definitely needs more women and definitely needs more Indian women, because we do have a voice. We do have, you know, the talent to showcase and to save our oceans. And I don't know, I just feel extremely strongly about this, bringing women into the diving industry. And I know it's hard. I know that y'all will probably face really weird situations, and I just want to tell them that do not give up. Just do not. Just keep going through with it, and it'll probably be the best thing that you do. I'm very emotional when it comes to women in diving, but I'm also not a very motivational speaker sort of person. So I'm just like, please don't give up. Please don't. Please just keep going for it. I mean, just like on not for the podcast, but I've had so many issues when it comes to just photographing on land. My best friend and I, when we walk on the road and if it gets dark, I wanted to once take a picture of something, but I couldn't because there were these strange men out there. And in my head, I was just like, if I was a guy, I could have gone in there and taken it. But I'm so scared to go in there and take photos. And I feel most of the time, even when you look at photography awards, if you see them, it's most of the time that men are winning. And that's not because they're not good or anything, but it's because I feel women don't get that opportunity, you know, to go after dark sometimes, to just feel safe where they are to take these pictures. And I just hope that, you know, with younger girls or any woman seeing that, you know, other women are doing this, they have a little courage to just go ahead with it. I don't know, I hope that happens.
Yeah, like I can totally resonate. Like I do festival photography, and you can imagine the kind of crowd festivals have, and the number of female photographers were compared to the number of it's not like very high, but yeah, the way I can move freely around the festival ground and shoot whatever I want to, I don't think a female photographer gets the same kind of freedom to capture those shots.
Yeah, I get it, and you get it too, so I'm really glad about that. But yes, I am hoping that it changes, you know, because so when I see women like Nayanthara Jain and Tasneem Khan. So these women are prominent names in the diving community in India. And last year, when I saw Tasneem Khan just speak, I was so fascinated. She was actually amazing. And like, okay, fine, I was influenced by books in the seventh grade, but I was again inspired and influenced all over again. And I'm just so glad for that, you know, when you see these women talk and you see these women, what they're doing for the oceans, just protecting it day and night. It just feels like a win for all women, because it's like if they can do it, even we can do it, you know? And it's nice.
Thank you, Tanvi. Thanks a lot for taking out your time for this session. It was really insightful.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was my first podcast, and I was extremely nervous about doing it, but you made it really comfortable, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, I hope that our listeners of this episode start considering marine conservation and the issues around it. They start taking it seriously, and on the same level, the way mountains are perceived. And I hope that your work inspires more people, more girls,
to take up this as a profession, and more people, more tourists to love the local ecosystem wherever they are. Not only oceans, not only Himalayas, but their local ecosystem.
Definitely. I genuinely hope so too.
You can connect with Tanvi on her social media channels.
I'm only on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is tanvi.gautama.
You can also contact me on my social media channels for feedback and suggestions. You were listening to Daily Passenger Responsible Travel Podcast, and I will be back with a new episode soon.